Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. We're a group of law enforcement professionals to talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. And let me introduce the panel. Guys, if you don't mind waiting for the video portion of our show, we have attorney Ken Affianco from the Tampa Bay area in Florida. Thanks for being on the show, Ken. Appreciate it. Also, Mike Baldwin. I can't remember. You know, Mike's that world traveler. He could be in any country in the, across the globe right now. But Mike Baldwin, he is with GrossmanOnTruth.com, co-authored a book with the colonel himself, Lieutenant Colonel Dave Grossman. So appreciate it. He's always got an interesting perspective, and he's a former sergeant as well and retired from law enforcement. Also, a shout out to our sponsors. We have Aero Precision. They're our satellite sponsor, getting us on Westwood One Satellite. And Aero Precision at AeroPrecisionUSA.com. We are Gauls and Gauls.com/Leo. AUFire.com, GunLearn.com, BlueTheGold.com, and MyMedicare.live. Also, we're going to give a shout out to Brian Burns with the Free Press, TampaFP.com. Thanks for carrying our content, Brian. And Ray Dietrich, RedVoiceMedia.com. You know, we're streaming to 8 locations right now. 3 of those are Facebook pages that belong to Red Voice Media, and they've got about 1 million followers on those 3 Facebook pages alone. So thanks to Ray Dietrich and Red Voice Media for helping make that happen. So guys, I promised we have a good lineup today. Just to whet the appetite here, we've got an update. The rushed armorer is given the maximum sentence by a New Mexico judge. And we've got the update on the Baldwin factor. We've also got Jacksonville police released a video of an officer involved shooting of a knife-wielding suspect. It's pretty wild. Warren police, I believe it's in Michigan, they have a body cam released in a fatal officer shooting of an armed suspect. And then we have 2 more state patrol trainers say that Trooper Lon Reagan, and that's the Hennepin County, you know, Minneapolis area, Minnesota, but they're saying that the trooper who's being prosecuted, that he followed his training, they're backing up the trooper. We have a Sparks police body cam footage showing a shootout that ending in the death of Anthony Wade, and 3 officers end up getting shot in that. And now a judge awards $23.5 million to an undercover St. Louis police officer who was beaten by his colleagues during a protest. We've covered that before. It's a wild story. That's something that Ken could sink his teeth into, I'm sure. So look, let's go in and get started. LawOfficer.com, rushed armor given maximum sentence by New Mexico judge. Santa Fe, New Mexico is where we're at. So Hannah Gutierrez Reed, that's the armor. So the rushed armor was sentenced to 18 months, so 1.5 years, the maximum possible punishment for involvement in the negligent shooting death of Helena Hutchins by Alec Baldwin. Okay, I said Steve Baldwin in before the show, so Alec Baldwin. And I know you guys were letting me run with that because you just love me the craft to correct myself on live radio, so I appreciate that. But yeah, Alec Baldwin, and this happened in 2021. New Mexico District Court Judge Mary Marlowe Summer sentenced the 26-year-old Gutierrez Reed, and she's young, after she was convicted of involuntary manslaughter last month, according to the New York Post. So remember, we have another trial coming up. A conditional, listen to what the judge, I don't know if this is the judge Alec Baldwin wants, but this is what the judge says about Gutierrez Reed, the armor that she sentenced maximum. A conditional discharge is not appropriate. And the second option, leaving you in the detention center, is giving you a pass you do not deserve. You alone turned a safe weapon into a lethal weapon, but for you, a husband would have his wife and a little boy would have his mother. Wow. That's like serious stuff. During trial, jurors heard evidence about how Gutierrez Reed flouted gun safety protocols and allowed a live round to end up in the handgun that Baldwin was using for the film. Now, Baldwin's trial is scheduled for July. His legal team received a view of what to expect, since it will involve the same judge and the same prosecutors, as well as many of the same witnesses, according to the Associated Press. So, wow, it's going to get good in July, I think. So, attorney Ken.
You know, I read the headlines and it said this particular person got the maximum sentence allowed. I'm thinking, wow, she's going away for a long time. And then I saw the maximum sentence in New Mexico for involuntary manslaughter.
A year
is 18 months. I'm thinking, are you kidding me? In Florida, that the maximum sentence would be 15 years. It's a second degree felony. And in New Mexico, 18 months. Heck, in Florida, for a first degree misdemeanor, you could get up to 12 months in jail. Are you kidding me? So with good behavior, she'll be out in 6 months. I mean, that's a joke. But anyway, my 2 cents.
No, I agree with Ken there that seemed very light. And based on all the information that was coming out from this movie set and the reckless behavior, And just so the audience knows, my last name is Baldwin, but I'm in no way connected to Alec Baldwin. His politics are not mine, and how he handled a weapon is not my tactics as well. Every gun is always loaded. That's what we're taught. You don't point it at anything you're not willing to destroy. And so he, if the judge happens to throw the max sentence at him, whatever that's going to be, I'm glad that no one's above the law, and hopefully he won't be either.
Yeah, well, I don't want to use the word funny. I think it's unfortunate. You know, Alec Baldwin is taking a different stance on gun rights, gun ownership and stuff. So it's kind of, you know, it's kind of, again, I don't want to use the word funny, but it's ironic that he's the guy being prosecuted for this, having, you know, pulled the trigger in a movie, and it's something horrible happened. But I hope people learn a lot from this and you know, respect firearms, but realize that, you know, they don't go off by themselves. So, well, look, that said, we'll have some news in July when this thing goes to trial. Yeah, Mike?
One reason why this person did get the max sentence is because they brought this out that she showed no remorse. She blamed everybody else, and they were listening to, or they received evidence of her jail calls while she was in. And she did not show any remorse. She just blamed everybody else, including the paramedics that were on scene. So again, she's not going to get a whole lot of time, but she's getting at least the maximum, which is what she deserves, most likely.
You know, I've listened to many a jail call. It's kind of funny that, and I will use the word funny this time. It's funny that they're in there. They have notices usually by the phones, at least where I'm at, and people just forget they're being recorded. And wow, what a great tool that's been over the years. Jumping to rumble.com, and it's our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter. And This Is Butter is actually on the stream conversing with us. So we've got a story with a video component. So let me just start off by saying that, look, if you're listening to the show audibly on your favorite radio station or podcast, please stay loyal to those platforms that are bringing you this quality content. We appreciate them doing that. And in return, we'll describe in great detail what's going on so you don't feel like you're missing out on anything. But if, however, we're talking about a video component that you absolutely have to watch, you know, our show Monday through Friday, 12 to 1 o'clock during lunch hour Eastern time, but we take the same live show and we embed it with all the videos we talk about, and we also put pictures of the good guys and the bad guys, and that special version comes out at 9 o'clock the next morning on a Rumble channel called Leo Roundtable, and that's Tuesday through Saturday. So you always have that option. So in this new video, it shows what led up to a Jacksonville police officer opening fire on a suspect.
Drop the knife! Drop the knife!
Down.
Give
it 73.
Put it down!
Oh, great.
So this body-worn camera, it's released by the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office late Tuesday morning. So they said that Jimmy Riggs, our bad guy, had a knife and refused to listen to commands to put it down. Now, one officer fired, another deployed his taser as Riggs is moving towards them. The suspect's still in the hospital in critical condition. So at least he hasn't died yet that we know of. When you watch this video, though, on my notes I'm looking here, you see there's two officers there in the middle of an intersection. So the first one rolls up, and his body cam is rolling, and so he's our officer number one. He's got a pistol out, and the suspect's with the knife on the side of the road, and he starts approaching the officer as he exits the cruiser, and so the officer's got to pull the gun out and get it on point right away. But like I said, there's two cops. The other cop is in like an SUV, and you know, a marked SUV, and he chooses to go taser. So the funny thing is, or the stupid thing is, the bad guy has two cops that he can choose to approach because they're strategically placed. They're not next to each other, but they're not in a crossfire situation either. So the bad guy with the knife picks the cop with the pistol to charge instead of the one with the taser. And it looked to me like they both fired about the same time. But of course, the lethal one won and put him down. And of course, he's still alive from what I understand. But yeah, they both fired about the same time. Commentary on the video or on the mic, start us off.
Yeah, so I've always found it interesting, me being former law enforcement. I always went gun. I never went taser. But there's always guys that want to be the one to pull out the taser. And so, again, this actually helps support the narrative that police aren't looking to kill people. They're actually looking to save lives. And somebody took out less lethal in hopes of, you know, taking this guy into custody without shooting and killing him. The tactics the officer used, you said they weren't crossfire. They were more like an L. I'm not sure about all the communication with him, but yeah, the nut job with the gun. You play stupid games, you win stupid prizes. You charge the guy with the gun in his hand. That's what's going to happen to you. So good guys win, and that's what we're after.
Oh, yeah.
15 seconds, Ken.
Yeah, Billy Martin posted in the comments is suicide by a cop, and I would have to agree on this one. This was just too obvious. So I would say suicide by a cop.
All right. Well, gentlemen, stick with us. It's time for our first commercial break. We will be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about Gauls at Gauls.com/Leo, the country's leading uniform clothing, equipment, and gear provider for law enforcement. And they have a variety of offerings, everything from multi-tools and flashlights to duty boots and tactical gear. And, Gauls, what can I say? Gauls.com/Leo. Certainly every law enforcement officer in the country has to be aware of Gauls by now. And if you have a family, friends, or loved one that are involved with law enforcement or even host dragging buddies, you know, or firefighters or even military, they really have something for everybody. And as Captain Brett Bartlett always says, they pretty much have something for everybody. And in addition to that, they have pretty much everything except for guns and ammo. So if you haven't checked out the new Gauls lately, please go to Gauls.com/Leo and check them out. Now, notice I said they have a uniform program. Their uniform program is second to none. Even my former agency, the Tampa Police Department, they have a Gauls uniform office on the second floor lobby at Tampa Police Headquarters. And from what I understand, they're absolutely killing it. So go to Gauls.com/Leo and check it out. So now, we're introducing Aero Defense by Aero Precision at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, a beacon of durability, dependability, and all-American craftsmanship in the realm of duty rifles. Yes, long guns. So born from an aerospace engineering company, Aero Defense by Aero Precision demands perfection because selling for anything less is not an option when your life is on the line. Now, since 1994, they've quietly been leading the air builder parts domain, and they're making waves in the soulless bolt action realm. But stay tuned because their M4 E1 Pro and the Mod 4 handguards, they're getting ready to hit AeroPrecisionUSA.com later this year, the embodiments of duty rifle excellence, and they're now being tailored for the civilian customer, which is you guys. Now you get your hands on this primo stuff. In addition, their M5 AR-308 platform, a great sniper platform, that's nothing short of spectacular. So don't settle for less when you can have the best. Head over to AeroPrecisionUSA.com. I know Ken Afianko is a big fan of Aero Precision, and they just took over Stag Arms. AeroPrecisionUSA.com. All right, guys, welcome back to Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com. Appreciate you guys hanging in there for our commercial breaks there. Hopefully you appreciate the new format, you know, because we're gearing up for satellite, and when the local radio stations are doing their local content, instead of you having to listen to the commercial like we did when we were live out of the Buzz Hog, you know, radio network, you know, now we can kind of converse with our streamers and stuff, answer questions, talk amongst ourselves, and I'm getting good feedback that you guys like that, especially MBS has been pretty vocal about liking that format. Talking about this situation where we have a lethal situation, you've got a guy that's got a knife approaching law enforcement. You know, tactically, and as I'm going to put my David DeGresta hat on, you know, the only time that most of us support something like that is if you've got a guy that's covering you with lethal and you got to trust that guy. And so the guy with the taser, we still see guys doing it that have no coverage with lethal, right? And like the article that we covered yesterday about, I think it was written by Chief Joel Schultz about edged weapons or knives. If you bring a taser to a knife fight, you're just asking to get cut, right? It's just stupid. So at least this guy, I'm assuming these guys have worked together a lot. Yeah, one guy coverage, and sure enough, you know, they both fired about the same time, but the guy with lethal did not allow that bad guy to get too close to the guy that had the less lethal. So any more comments on this, guys? And if not, we've got plenty more to cover. Okay, and we got Billy Martin agreeing. He says, exactly. So thanks for the backup, Billy. I appreciate it. So moving along here, guys, we've got another story with a video component. We're still at Rumblestone, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter. And I've got about 6 minutes before we go to our second commercial break. But Warren Police body cam released in the fatal officer shooting of an armed suspect.
Oh, God.
Priority. So let's see what happened on this one. So Warren police, they have an armed guy that runs out of a garage and he pulls out a 9mm Glock pistol and he points it at Warren police officers before they open fire. Kind of a wild scenario, because I think what happened, they were knocking on the front door, then all of a sudden they hear the garage going up and they go there and they go up to the front door, and then the cop, you can't really see because the body cam is not always positioned where you can really see what the cop can see from his from the eyesight level, right? It's always like down at the chest. So, you know, typically you're looking at something different, or maybe the cop is, you know, pointing at the bad guy with his hands right in front of the body cam, right? Or the gun's blocking the, you know, the viewer, whatever. So the cop definitely sees this guy with the gun and he bolts out of that garage running and yelling gun, gun, gun. So all this compadres, all the other cops there know that you've got an armed dude coming out the door. So, so the suspect, 18-year-old high school student, who was attending online classes. And why do they put all this information in there? Like, it makes a difference. You've got a bad guy with a gun, but he's believed to be suffering from mental health crisis. Like, that makes a difference, you know. But video shows one officer begin the end of the open garage, turns, and he runs back to his cruiser after seeing the suspect with his gun. After getting into his car, the officer says, gun, 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 over the radio. Let's just go to the car and get on the radio, you know, instead of, taking a position of cover and firing. After running out from around a bush outside his family's house, he can be seen taking an aggressive stance towards officer. And this is our bad guy. Now, 11 shots end up being fired by two cops and three of the rounds hit the suspect. So three out of 11 make contact. Okay, well, I guess we should take that and run with it, being law enforcement, right? The 18-year-old did not fire on the officers. Once the suspect's on the ground, officers revive him three separate times, Ken, before the Warren Fire Department arrives at the scene, and they get there within 3 minutes, but the suspect ends up dying in the long run. And according to my my little notes here, you start off watching body cam number one, and you know this stuff happens right around the 55-second mark. Officers inside this garage, they see this guy exiting, and dash cam of the incident starts about 1 minute and 20 seconds. They got a freeze frame showing the suspect with a gun going through the yard, chasing after the cops that were running out of the garage fleeing. And then you jump to body cam number two, where the officer neutralizes the arm threat in a freeze frame. And that cop was rolling up on the scene. I think he's the last guy to get there. And he gets out of his car and he sees his dude walking through the front yard going after the other cops that are running away. And he's got a pistol and he takes the guy out. So at least he got it done. We got 3 minutes and 16 seconds, guys. Commentary on this one, anybody? What do you think, Ken?
All in all, it's a good shoot. I mean, I'll be honest with you. This kind of reflects the sign of the times where officers seem to be a little bit hesitant to pull out a firearm and use it when they should. And I'll point to a case that's not on the show, but it was one that happened this past week over in Hillsborough County where a bad guy got three rounds out at three or four deputies and they never returned fire. Oh, you already covered it? Oh, I'm sorry. I missed that one.
At the park.
Okay. I got it. Yeah. So that's a sign of the times. For the life of me, I don't understand why they didn't take that guy out. But
well, he was different story. He was doing a 5-second taser ride while the shots were fired. When he did that, he didn't do a face plant. He landed backwards. His head almost hit like that oak tree. But while the taser, because you can hear the taser crackling, boom, boom, boom. And you hear these three shots. You go, how in the world did that? I mean, how did the guy? So we were debating on the show whether or not he pulled the trigger because the taser, you know, because, you know, you lock up during the taser. But how was he able to do it? You know, did the taser cause him to fire, or was he able somehow to manipulate the trigger, you know, while the taser cycling, because it was definitely working enough to get him to lock up and go down on the ground, lay on his back. And then there's the whole dog component too. I don't know,
but this is a sign of the times I've been seeing. So,
yeah. Well, speaking of signs of the time, Mike Baldwin, you're up.
Now this actually reminded me, I had a little flashback of a scenario where I was with another detective and we were plain clothes. And we were going to this house looking for some stolen property. And as we got close to the house, I could hear people in the garage. The garage was shut. And so I lightly just knocked on the garage, didn't say who I was. This affected my actions afterwards because I didn't say I was the police because the guy yelled, "Who is it?" And it was a dope house as well. And I could hear the rack of a slide. And so I told my buddy, "Gun." And so we immediately got behind cover. I got behind a vehicle, an engine block, and this guy came out of the front door of the house with a gun in hand.
Okay.
I immediately drew down and gave commands. Because you're allowed to have a gun in Arizona and you're allowed to protect yourself. And I didn't say who I was, so I have to give him an opportunity.
Smart.
And he immediately ran back in the house, and then came back out with no gun in hand and decided it would be a good idea to fight two police officers in the front yard.
Oh, really?
So bottom line, he went to jail after he went to the hospital. But in this particular case, yeah, this is a scary situation. A guy not thinking clearly, coming out with a gun in hand. And as far as the shooting goes, you know, 3 out of 11, it's hard to hit a moving target sometimes. It's not like the movies.
I guess. Well, guys, it's time for a second commercial break. So stick with us. We will be right back. All right, guys, struggling with the ins and outs of warrantless searches and seizures, or are you worried about the liability in case you get it wrong? Say hello to BlueTheGold.com. They translate search and seizure doctrines in the clear, straightforward concepts that any officer can relate to. Plus, they give the training for free thanks to BlueTheGold.com's free weekly webinars. Now, they're getting ready. They're doing bulletproof DUI reports today. Next week, it's crash investigation. So sign up at BlueTheGold.com today and join thousands of your peers in blue and step up your legal game, because frankly, you and your agency cannot afford not to. And that is BlueTheGold.com. So now it's time to talk about AU Fire. It stands for Accuracy Under Fire, and it's at AUFire.com. And now agencies can prepare their LEOs for the mental challenges associated with being wounded on duty, forcing them to adapt, problem solve, refocus, and overcome to effectively neutralize the threat. Now, AUFire.com has the only option to safely prepare LEOs for the instant, intense, random, and distracting immobilization of a body part associated with a debilitating wound. Go to AUFire.com, watch these cool videos, learn about this amazing product, AUFire.com. All right, guys, welcome back to Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com. I know that before we went to the break, Mike was talking about this this last scenario and taking out this bad guy. So I promised to ask Ken Affianco. I was going to ask him, you know, he's big into, like, he was in the Stag Arms, and of course they got, you know, acquired by, you know, Arrow Precision USA. So I was going to ask Ken what his ideal setup would be, rolling out of that cruiser with this bad guy chasing his, you know, his fellow workers, his officers, you know, through that yard with a gun. What would be your ideal setup, Ken?
Well, I got a better one for you. I'll just show you what it is.
Oh, my gosh.
This is my setup. This is what I use at the police department. This is our secondary weapon. This is our long gun.
So we've got a lot of radio listeners and podcasts. So tell people what you're holding.
Well, anyway, this is a 516 SIG, 516 piston-driven upper with an EOTech optic with the EOTech magnifier on it. And of course, I've got a little bit of a suppressor up front on a 14 and a half inch barrel, because if I start shooting this thing indoors, I don't want to be deaf for a week. Right. So this thing is accurate as you'll ever get. It has an upgraded trigger on it, and it has some other modifications. It has the press fitting light on it and a sling, 2-point sling. And this is my favorite gun to carry at the police department, other than my issued handgun, but This is pretty nice, I'll be honest with you.
Wow.
So I'm comfortable with this.
Note to self, don't mess with Ken.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Well, it gets people thinking, you know, guys that are on the street, they're always wondering what kind of a setup, you know, what do I want to carry, you know, or maybe they haven't made maybe the department's not issuing, you know, rifles, long guns to them, and they got to get their own setup, you know, which it's totally worth it, guys. So I'm curious, Ken, you know, my favorite gun to carry, it's not easily concealable, but my favorite law enforcement sidearm was my SIG P226, my 9mm, you know, shoots in single and double action. Man, what a sweet shooting gun. What's your favorite pistol?
Well, I have a SIG 226. However, I will tell you this much, a CZ is, I mean, an upgrade from a SIG, to be honest with you, the way CZ makes it. I do. And CZ is an incredible, incredible firearm that is probably one of my sweetest shooters that I own. Really? But I'm not allowed to carry that. I'm allowed to carry the Glock Gen 5 Model 17 with an optic on it, which I don't agree with the optic on a side gun for a police officer. But that's what they give us. And it's an okay gun. I mean, let's face it. Glocks are known for reliability. They're not known for being pretty. They're not known for having good trigger pull. They're not known for anything else other than being reliable. But honestly, in a gun battle, give me something that's reliable, and I'll take that every day of the week.
Yeah. Now, I mean, once you get that Glock trigger down, I mean, look, I agree. I love a single action gun. So the Glock is not going to be, you know, your gun if you like that single action mode. But it's got that once you get that trigger reset down, it does uncomplicate things. And I know a lot of, even Taurus has been using Glock triggers, and some other people have. So, but I do love a gun that can shoot single action. That's a sweet, sweet option. So, all right. Well, excellent conversation. So now people know a little bit more how you think. Hey, guy, yeah. So Ken is still active. He's still he's an attorney. He helps cops out in the World of Hurt, and he works for the FOP. But he's still active. He still does his tours of duties and stuff, and works with an agency over there on the, I think, Pinellas County. Is that where you're at, right?
Pinellas Park, to be exact, which is over in Pinellas County. Yeah. Correct.
Yeah, good. Yeah. So yeah, so he still is active. Active law enforcement license certification. Pretty cool. So we got about 6.5 minutes here left before we do our last commercial break. Amazing how time just flies by. So if we're done with the last topic, let's jump to an update real quick here. So we've got lawofficer.com. I think this is pretty interesting, Ken. I mean, it's in your neck of the woods. We have two more state police trainers. They're saying that Trooper Lon Reagan followed his training. So we're in Hennepin County. So we're in Minnesota. In Hennepin County, you know, we've got prosecutors there that are just hell-bent on prosecuting cops, right? Not because it's the right thing to do, but because it's what they want to do. Or maybe what they promise, you know, people are going to do to get elected. Two more Minnesota State Police trainers have signed sworn declarations saying that Trooper Ryan Lon Reagan, and everybody's heard this name, appears to have acted in accordance with his training when he shot Ricky Cobb II last summer. So when you have guys saying that you're doing as you were trained, and these are the trainers that trained you, you have a serious problem when you're trying to prosecute a cop for doing what he was told to do. The declarations obtained by Alpha News, which is where Liz Collin works, and Liz Collin is married to our panelist, Bob Kroll, former Minneapolis police lieutenant, and was in charge of the Federation, the police union over there. So she works over at Alpha News. The declarations obtained by Alpha News were signed by Lieutenant Jonathan Wenzel and Trooper Troy Morrell, who are now retired, but according to the declarations, Lieutenant Wenzel was the firearms coordinator and Trooper Morrell was the emergency vehicles operations coordinator during the State Patrol's 2021 Training Academy, which was attended by Trooper Lon Reagan. So these guys are spot on, and these are the guys you want talking, right? Because they've got relevance. Now, this has prompted the Minnesota Police and Peace Officers Association, so the union, to send a second letter to the governor, Tim Walz, asking him to take this stupid investigation against Trooper Lon Reagan away from Hennepin County Attorney Mary Moriarty's office. He says recent events have now made this request even more imperative. Not only has the HCAO, so the state attorney's office, Moriarty's office, own use of force experts stated that Lon Reagan acted reasonably, and that's right, the state attorney's office, I hired an expert that said that the trooper did nothing wrong. So they got rid of him, and they just tried to find, they're doing expert shopping, right? And but now each of the Trooper Lon Reagan's patrol officers that are trained him, they provided the defense of sworn declaration stating that he acted in accordance with his training and he did not violate any Minnesota State Patrol use of force policy. And that, that's what the April 3rd letter says. Trooper Lon Reagan, 27 years old, Minnesota State Trooper, who's been charged with 3 felonies stemming from a July 2023 incident where he shot and killed Cobb, a convicted felon who allegedly had ties to a Minneapolis gang. And the state trooper shot Cobb to prevent him from harming another state trooper who was dragged a short distance by Cobb's vehicle. And they're in the car and this guy's taken off. And of course, there's so many things he did not do that they ordered him to do. And he kept breaking and starting. You know, they're lucky they didn't get run over, which is what they were in fear of. It closes by saying the Hennepin County Attorney's Office now hired, they hired their own expert. They found Trooper Lon Reagan acted lawfully, like I said earlier. And now we're hearing that the State Patrol's own trainers, who were already interviewed in and out of the grand jury, said that he also acted lawfully, according to the executive of the union, Brian Peters. So they're still prosecuting this guy, which is going to, you know, I don't know how they're going to be able to get away with it. Ken Afianko, Mike Baldwin, start us off. We got three minutes.
No, it's this is terrible. And again, they're expert shopping this attorney, and they had their own expert say that this guy acted lawfully. And then they have people that are coming out in support of him, people from the training academy. which I applaud and say, yes, this is how we train. This guy did it by the book. And because this attorney apparently has an agenda, Ken, maybe you agree with me or not on that. She's expert shopping to continue to try to prosecute this guy that's been proven now by other experts and other trainers that he's done the right thing. So this is not good, but it's Minnesota.
True. Ken?
It's insane for me to think this prosecutor's still moving forward. I mean, the gist of this case is going to be, I don't care how many experts you bring in from outside sources to testify that he acted unlawfully. The most important experts in this case are the trainers from the agency. Those are the ones that have more credibility than any other expert you're going to bring in a court. So with that being said, even the state attorney expert says the guy acted lawfully. I don't know how in the world you would ever prove this case differently unless there's some sort of body camera footage that may seem a little egregious where you're just now preying on the emotions of the jury as opposed to the facts of the case. But nonetheless, it's just atrocious. This poor guy will never have a career again in law enforcement, even if he's found not guilty. And they just ruined this guy's life. It's just a shame.
It is. I can't wait for her to get egg on her face, Mike, when she goes to trial on this.
Yeah. And again, I'm not sure what her agenda is and what she's supported by. Billy Martin here saying, hey, read Liz Collins' book. Liz Collins did a great documentary on the fall of Minneapolis, and it just shows what's taking place in that state. And with the lawlessness and the lack of support for police, they are hemorrhaging officers there because of people, you know, not having their back. And it's very unfortunate. And what it does is make the entire community less safe than ever before.
Well, thanks, guys. Good coverage. So we'll watch. I can't wait to cover it when she loses big time. I don't see how she has a chance. And even if in the unlikely event that she's able to pull this out when it goes to appeal, I don't see this going anywhere. Guys, moving along, let's go to another story with a video component. Yeah, well, I've got, you know, I was thinking, you know, by now Jimmy would be starting the music right about now, so I guess I'll go ahead and start it. But hey, have you guys noticed that we've cut down on mistakes being made on the show? Have you noticed that? Yeah, Ken, yeah. Hey, so look, we're seconds out from our final commercial break, so stick with us, guys. We will be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. No matter how much you know about guns and ammunition, there's that knowledge gap that leaves you confused and missing the complete picture. GunLearn.com, they've taken the confusion of learning and they've actually made it easy. GunLearn.com is the first and it's the only company that offers a step-by-step program that takes you from your present knowledge level to become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like Attorney Ken Afianco. That's right. So they provide citations from federal law and ATF rulings for every point taught to ensure accuracy. And their training is approved by major forensic organizations, by law enforcement agencies, and also firearm manufacturers. Since 1996, they've taught everything that LEOs, that's law enforcement officers, need to know about firearms and ammunition to all facets of law enforcement. Now you can start today with online training, or you can sign up to attend a live seminar, and you can actually get free training for yourself and the personnel at your agency by hosting a seminar at no cost. So come aboard as one of the most firearm knowledgeable people in the world by joining the folks at GunLearn.com. Welcome back to Leo Roundtable, guys, at leoroundtable.com. All right, so I left off. We're getting ready to talk about a story involving Sparks Police. So we're at rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter. So Sparks Police, there's a body cam footage that shows a shootout that ends in the death of a guy named Anthony Wade, but three officers end up getting shot too.
He's shooting at us deep. Right there, watch. Yeah, right there. You got blood on the fridge, dude.
So I've got some notes on this too. Stick with us. So the Sparks Police Department's releasing new details about an officer involved shooting that occurred and injured three officers. So it starts at 1:40 in the afternoon. So the middle of the afternoon, March the 29th, when an officer with the Sparks Police Department initiates a traffic stop on a Ford Expedition with no license plate. So the officer tries to make contact with the driver, who's identified as Anthony Wade of Reno. So the driver, Anthony Wade's our bad guy. So the body cam video from the officer shows Wade immediately pull out a gun and he shoots at the officer through the driver's side window and strikes him, causing multiple injuries to his neck and scalp. And I remember seeing a picture of the vest he was wearing. It took a round too. So it was a bullet, you know, resistant vest. So yeah, so this cop, and you can see in the video from the body cam, you can see the guy, the bad guy, through the tent, holding the gun, pointing at the cop. I mean, this is just crazy. You see everything go down. The video is incredible. The officer then retreats back to his car, returns fire before Wade drives off. And of course, the back window just shatters from the officer returning fire. So our bad guy, though, runs a stop sign at an intersection that's still within view of the body cam. So you can see all this will go down. He doesn't make it far. He runs a stop sign, and it just so happens that not a small car, but a U-Haul truck is coming through the intersection, just T-bones that guy, hits the Expedition, which is a big ride, right, at the intersection, and it disables the bad guy's car. Now, Wade, our bad guy, flees the scene of the crash on foot. The injured officer runs to the crash scene where a witness tells him he saw the person with the gun, but the suspect had escaped. So our cop, who's kind of like wheezing, breathing, remember he got hit in the neck and stuff, he's bleeding and stuff. He runs, you know, he's got his car there, but it's within running distance. But, you know, I would think not if you're shot. The dude's, he's just a badass, you know. He just runs down there and looking to engage the bad guy. Cop's got his gun out. He's ready, loaded for bear, right? So Sparks Police get a 911 call. It jumps around a little bit, but the nuts and bolts of it is, so the bad guy gets away after this crash, and the cops are all there. Police get a 911 call that a black male adult had forcibly entered a home in the area. The caller said that she had been in the kitchen cooking when Wade, the bad guy they're looking for, had entered her home with a gun. The woman told dispatch that she used a knife to cut Wade, and Wade flees out the back of the residence. So then officers from multiple agencies, they get there, right? So you've got the cavalry coming, and they get a shelter place order. Everybody's got to get in the home. And the Sparks Police Department, the Reno Police, and also the Washoe County Sheriff's Office, they initiate a door-to-door search for bad guys. This is serious stuff. As this is going on, Wade gets inside of another residence, takes a woman hostage. Officers are able to make contact with that woman around 2 p.m. as she's trying to leave the area in her car. Wade is hidden in the car. They're trying to get out of there. Officers tell her that there's a shelter order in place. She's got to go back home. So she drives back to her home, closes the garage door, and then officers later learn that you know, the guy that took her hostage, Wade, he was riding around trying to sneak out in the car. So a deputy of the Washoe County Sheriff's Office sees the kidnapped woman lying on the floor of a doorway during this door-to-door check. And as the deputy identifies himself as the police, Wade starts shooting from inside the residence. He hits the deputy, and he also hits a Sparks police officer. So this is like the second and third cop that he's hitting gunfire. Officers return fire, and they drag the victim to safety. It's not over yet. Wade flees out of the house backyard, jumps over a fence, lands in a neighbor's yard. He flees out of the back house, and I'll go through the rest of this really quick. He attempts to hide behind a shed in the backyard. 15 minutes later, the victim exits her house without incident, and then Wade reenters the home and through the back door. Crisis negotiators, SWAT team show up. They try to get him to leave. He does not respond. They go in at 7:30 with SWAT in a garage looking for him. He's there. He's hiding and he's waiting. So then there's another shootout with the SWAT officers. It doesn't go so well for him. And officers continue to fire at Wade as they exit the garage. And then it goes dark, right? He doesn't answer, but this time it's because he's found dead. And he had a 40 caliber semi-automatic handgun with an extended magazine. Sparks police said the incident lasted 8.5 hours. Officers who were injured were taken to the hospital where they were treated for the injuries and released. Unbelievable that they were able to release these guys and not even admit them. Wow, this could have gone so many different ways. Guys, commentary on this. Ken, start us off.
Yeah, I watched this video, and I'm telling you, man, my heart rate was beating like mad. Every cop should watch this video because this poor kid walking up to the car had absolutely no indication that this guy was going to do anything. And as many traffic stops as I've made in my life, if you look carefully, this bad guy had a seatbelt on. And I'm not making a correlation here, but honestly, people that wear their seatbelt don't usually shoot at cops. And I'll tell you, that's just from experience. But nonetheless, lucky he had his vest. Luckily, the bullet stopped the vest, the vest stopped the bullet. And this guy just continued to cause a rampage. But the officers at the end of the day did a great job taking him out. And that's the end of this guy. We'll never have to worry about him again. But this is a frightening, frightening video. I was very, very wired up watching this thing.
Gotta love it. Mike?
No, why Ken was so frightened is because this guy, the bad guy, was a true wolf. Colonel Grossman, who I work for, talks about there's three types of people. There's sheep, there's sheepdogs, and there's wolves. And this officer in this particular case was a sheepdog. He was going to go hunting. And so when the wolf came out and shot at him, the sheepdog did not cower. The sheepdog took around to the neck, to the head, top of the head, and to his vest and continued to return fire and then continue to pursue. And that's what I want, you know, your listeners to think about. Who am I going to be? Because sometimes you got to be willing to be the sheepdog and protect yourself. And stop walking around with your head in your cell phone and being a sheep like most of the population. And again, this scene, how it played out, this guy, the wolf, does what wolves do. He typically is a coward, and he attacked a sheep, a woman in her home, kidnapped her, threw her in the car, you know, and ultimately was hiding when some more sheepdogs came in and dispatched him.
Sweet. Gotta love it, guys. Hey, thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate it. We've got about a little over 2 minutes left, so I think I've got enough time to get to this last one, at least anyhow. It's an update on Police One. Judge awards $23.5 million. That's a huge payday to an undercover St. Louis police officer that was beaten by his colleagues during a protest. Now, in all fairness, I have to say this guy was really messed up after the beating. So a St. Louis judge on Monday awarded nearly $23.5 million to a former police officer who was beaten by his colleagues while working undercover during a protest. And so Luther Hall, our cop, was badly injured. This happened back in 2017, and it was during one of several protests that followed the acquittal of Jason Stockley. He's a former St. Louis police officer, and he got acquitted on a murder charge that stemmed from the shooting death of a black man. So that's why there was all kinds of demonstration stuff going on from the black community. Hall, our cop, that got beat, previously settled a separate lawsuit with the city for $5 million. So he's already won a $5 million lawsuit against the city. In 2022, he sued three former colleagues, Randy Hayes, Dustin Boone, Christopher Myers, for the roles that were in the attack. Now, Hayes, one of the defendants, never responded to the lawsuit despite being served while he's in prison on a civil rights violation. So, yeah, that's another story. St. Louis Post-Dispatch reported that. A judge issued a default judgment in favor of Hall in February and heard testimony on Monday about why Hall should receive damages. Hall's claims against Boone and Myers are still pending. Those are the other two cops. So Hall in court on Monday talked about the severe physical and emotional damages from the beating. He suffered several herniated discs. He had a jaw injury that left him unable to eat, developed gallstones with complications requiring surgeries, plural, and Hall had to endure a severe beating. And while that was happening, he knew it was being administered by his colleagues who were sworn to protect and serve him, according to the judge, Joseph Wyatt. Hayes was not at the hearing. That's one of the defendants. And it says that, let me just go on to say, Hayes and Hall are similar names, but Hayes was one of the defendants. Hall, of course, is our cop that got beat. And it goes on to say that anyhow, get some history. We only got 20 seconds left, but this is the way this went down. But it's a huge settlement. Any commentary on this? We've got about 15 seconds, but Ken, I was surprised about the amount of the payday.
Well, the payday is symbolic, Chip. The bottom line, this is a judgment against the officers individually. They won't see a dime of this money, but I'm okay with a symbolic judgment in this case. He got $5 million from the city. That's what he'll get. He won't see a penny of this $23.5 million. These guys don't have that money.
All right, but he did get a $5 million payday, I guess, from saying he will get that.
From the city, yes.
All right. So So thanks for dumbing it down for us. Appreciate that. Hey guys, great show. Thanks so much. Real quick, unmute your microphone, Mike, and tell people how they can get a hold of your book.
Yes, you can go look at grossmanontruth.com and see the books that Colonel Grossman has written and about our presentation.
All right. Gotta love it. GrossmanOnTruth.com. Hey, guys, I also want to mention the Wounded Blue, thewoundedblue.org. That's Lieutenant Randy Sutton's 501c3 that's helping cops out in the world of hurt. Great organization to be involved with and to support. A shout out to Aero Precision, Galls, AUFire.com, Gunlearn.com, BlueTheGold.com, and MyMedicare.live. Also, thanks to the Free Press at TampaFP.com, Red Voice Media, RedVoiceMedia.com. See you guys back tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern.